On Good Friday 2010, Melanie Reed fell from her horse, breaking her neck and fracturing her lower back. She was just 52 and her life changed forever. But she's turned her life around and she's here to tell us her story. Thank you so much for being on the show, Melanie.
Hello.
Hi there. So we're talking 2010, so 9 years ago. You were just riding cross country like you normally would.
I took a Friday off to go and get some instruction. It was a cross country training course and over sort of little jumps, and I was, you know, just having fun. A middle aged horse lover having fun trying to do it properly, and my horse refused the jump, and I went over it and face planted in the ground the other side, and my legs, because I'm very tall, my legs sort of flipped up in the air and behind and over my neck, and I, that was it, I'm afraid. There was a sort of a, everything went red, and a feeling of this sort of incredible warmth over my whole body, and it was like a nuclear explosion in my body. And I remained conscious, but all over.
Yeah, so you remember exactly how you felt, what was happening?
Yeah, I was sort of horribly conscious in a way, which, you know, I suppose it helped, and I could say to people, don't move me, I can't feel my legs. And I realized that I could only just kind of stir my shoulders, and my arms were not working properly. And I sort of managed to reach down with my right arm, and I tried to touch my legs, and I couldn't feel anything when I touched my legs. So that's when I was able to communicate to people, and therefore I didn't get rolled over, and therefore I got the kind of treatment that probably, you know, helped me in the long run. It meant that the break was not made any worse. So I was very lucky in some ways.
That's a great attitude to have. We're told, aren't we, all the time, if somebody has a really bad fall, do not move them, do not move them. But I guess if you hadn't have been able to tell them, you know, how you were feeling, they might have thought, well, it's going to be better for her if we do try and move her.
I think people are more and more aware. And certainly there is this fantastic protocol now with the emergency services to treat most people as sort of a potential neck injury or a spinal injury. And as a result, there are more and more people in spinal units who have what they call an incomplete injury, which means that the spine isn't totally severed, that it's only partially damaged. That's called an incomplete injury. So these people have a little bit of neurological recovery. And that it's a wonderful byproduct, if you like, of emergency protocol now, that there's much more awareness of spinal injury.
What happened next? Did you have to wait? Were you airlifted to hospital? Did you have to wait for ambulance to arrive? What happened next?
There were St John's ambulance guys were there, and they gave me oxygen, and then the paramedics arrived from a local hospital, and then the helicopter came, and I was airlifted. It was the at that time the Navy, the Royal Navy, did air sea rescue, and they took me to the Scottish Spinal Unit, which is based in Glasgow, and that's where I received. I was fortunate in that I went straight into expert care there, and At the spinal unit, it's one of the best in Europe, in fact, the Scottish spinal unit.
And how long were you in hospital for?
One week short of a year.
Oh my goodness. Do you remember those first few weeks?
It was like entering a new world, and that's why I started writing about it, because as a journalist, I felt like I was a war correspondent reporting from the front line of my own body, if you like. And I started writing because it was all so new and peculiar. The very few able-bodied people, luckily enough, get to experience being on the receiving end after a medical catastrophe. And it was fascinating, all that happens to you. You know, being in an MRI scanner, and it was just an upside down view of life, which I was in a position eventually to be able to tell.
But frightening as well. It must have been so frightening.
It's a very bleak and lonely and terrifying place. Mm. Yeah, but writing about it was good therapy. It helped.
Really? That's good. So did you keep diaries during that year, or did you write afterwards about it?
No, I wrote, I was employed by the Times, and within 3 weeks I started using somebody put a digital recorder, tape recorder on the pillow, and I talked into that. And as soon as I was able to sit in a wheelchair, I was able with two fingers to use a laptop, and I did two-finger typing. I started writing a column and about my experiences, and it really helped. It was a kind of life raft a way of expressing what I was going through, and I guess a form of therapy too.
Yeah, I can get that. You are a journalist, as you mentioned, but you were also riding for 30 years. You ran 10Ks, you climbed hills. You were a fit and healthy person. That's got to make it 10 times worse.
We all have a lot to lose when we have a healthy body. A body that works is precious, and everyone should remember that, appreciate when they got it. But, I was fit and tall and fit and active and strong, and in 2 seconds, you go from feeling like the mistress of your own universe to somebody who is completely powerless and helpless and unable to lift their head off the pillow. And it's a fairly traumatic change of circumstances. But there are millions of people in this world that deal with chronic illness and experience helplessness like that, and they don't often get a voice. And
yeah.
I'm one of the few voices in the mainstream media talking about it, and that's why writing the book was important, because it was a way of pulling together that viewpoint so that able-bodied people can see that people who have disabled, who've had a disaster in their lives, they're just like them, only 2 seconds of difference.
Yeah. I think this book will also help other people in a similar situation.
I hope so. I think I give publicity to spinal injury. Doesn't happen to that many people, but it's terrible when it does. But it's not rarely written about, and so I give them shine some light upon their plight. But I do get a lot of feedback from able-bodied people who tell me that I help put their more fortunate lives in perspective. Mm. They don't moan about petty things so much. They don't shout at their teenage son for leaving wet towels on the landing or whatever. When bad stuff happens, you learn how petty are the things that people moan about when they've really got healthy bodies and should just be very grateful.
Yeah. We should never take our health for granted. Definitely.
We shouldn't. Everyone does. I mean, I was just like that too. Mm. So, but if I can make a little bit of difference to people and say, look, enjoy it while you've got it.
Yes, I'm
sure. Don't waste it.
Sure you can. What was your recovery like, Melanie? Did you have to have lots of operations?
I had one major operation to plate the broken bone in my neck, and the rest of my time in hospital was spent in the rehabilitation ward, basically learning to maximize my ability to work with what I had, which was to strengthen my arms work. They're not 100%, but I've got a bit of strength in both arms, and my hands are compromised, but they work enough that I learned to pick up a cup of coffee. I learned to feed myself again, and slowly I strengthened the arms enough to be able to lift my, sort of when I sat, I could lift my own body weight, and therefore I could then transfer from a bed to a wheelchair by myself rather than being hoisted by two carers. And that's really a really big step, because if you can't lift yourself like that a little bit, slide across a wooden board, then you have to be hoisted everywhere you go. And that is a profound life change. Mm. You know, if your whole life is dependent upon having two carers on standby, it's more limiting than it is for me. I just need a short wooden board that I can go around with and get into cars and get into bed and stuff like that.
Giving you some independence back.
Yes, yes. So I learned in that year, I learned to maximize those things, and I grew strong enough, and I had enough neurological recovery that I could weight bear, I could stand weight bearing, I could lock my knees, and I could stand, and I even got to the point where I could shuffle a couple of steps, leaning very hard on a walking frame.
That's amazing, because they told you, didn't they, in the hospital that you'd be in a wheelchair for the rest of your life. You'd never do what you're doing.
Well, it's true that I am in a wheelchair 90% of my life. But my toes do wiggle. I can weight bear, and every morning I do this a little shuffle on a standing frame, leaning very, very heavily on a standing frame. It's not functional in that I can't sort of stand to make a cup of coffee. I can't cross the room on my own. I need to have someone behind me with a wheelchair in case my legs buckle. But that little shuffle is, for me, it's like wearing a medal, and it's very important to me.
Yeah.
And also it's good for my health, because it puts my organs back in their proper place rather than being all scrunched up in a chair.
Oh, I have never thought of it like that.
Yeah. You know, if you spend your life in a chair, everything gets sort of blah, all kind of collects all down in your middle, and your lungs get squeezed, and it's good to stretch and stand upright, and it's good for your bones, and so I have that little kind of window of physiotherapy every day. On paper I can walk, quotes, a couple of strides, but it's not functional. But it's important, nevertheless, very important.
Of course. And am I correct in thinking, because you mentioned about holding things, like holding a coffee cup, is it true that when you injure your spine high up, that's where it affects your hands?
Yes, because my break in my neck was at level cervical 6-7, and it's just about there that the nerves come in that control your fingers and your hands. So the case is that on my right hand, my right thumb and forefinger have feeling. I got a restoration of feeling, and I have some grip, which is what gives me my independence. I can hold a kettle and pour. But had my neck break been even a millimeter higher up my neck, I wouldn't have been able to use my thumb and my forefinger. It's an incredible. The body is an amazing machine.
It is. It is indeed an amazing machine. And this is 9 years ago. How are you now in yourself? I mean, are you pain-free?
No, I suffer a bit of pain from just aching. I get an aching bottom from sitting in a chair all the time, and my legs and feet tingle and ache with neuropathic pain. But I get, again, I'm lucky. I don't need to take opiates. Strong painkillers. I get by with ibuprofen and antispasmodic drugs. So I'm quite lightly medicated, which is fortunate. And some people with spinal injuries, they are in so much neuropathic pain that they take drugs like tramadol, which and gabapentin, which are quite powerful.
Very strong, yeah.
Very strong drug. I mean, in fact, they, you know, they're street drugs. They're used, you can buy them recreational, not for fun, but they're used for on the streets, and they're so powerful. And I'm fortunately, I can avoid them.
Yeah, good for you. Well, I think you're a real fighter. It must be very tough, but I admire the fact that you've done all that you've done. And you've put it in a book, which I'm sure will help other people, called The World I Fell Out Of by Melanie Reed, who we're speaking to now. And there's a foreword in there by Andrew Moore.
Yes, Andrew and I were trainees a million years ago when we started our careers. We were trainees a year ago, and of course, many years ago, and of course, he suffered a stroke, and he had the same, he plummeted from the top world, the nice, shiny, healthy world, down into the underworld of those of us with chronic illness or chronic disability, you know. It's so it was a bond.
Yeah, yeah. And are you still writing the column in the Times? Can we still read that?
I am still writing the column in the Times, yeah.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah. And the book?
Every Saturday in the magazine I write in the Times.
Every Saturday. What's it called again? Sorry, I'm talking over you. What's the column called?
The column is called Spinal Column.
Right, Spinal Column. I'll make a note of that. The book is The World I Fell Out Of, and I believe it's out tomorrow.
It's coming out tomorrow, yes. Oh,
congratulations, and the best of luck with it all.
Thank you very, very much.
It's my pleasure. Thanks, Melanie.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.